I just want to recap this with you real quickly as you're seated. Say hello to somebody near you. Go ahead and tell them you have a lot to smile about. Yes, you do. In Psalm 119, verse 130, the scripture says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." So we know if we're going to have breakthrough, it's going to come through a revelation of the Word of God. You can have an amen.
Amen.
Romans 10:17 tells us in the NASB, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." Two ways you can cultivate your faith is pray in the Spirit. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean praying in tongues.
Amen.
Without shame, without reservation, can I have an amen?
Amen.
And of course, subjecting yourself to the Word of God regularly will, of course, cause your faith to be cultivated. And we know that divine healing is the removal by the power of God of disease that has come upon the body or afflicted the mind or afflicted the emotions. And it is God's super added to our natural. And I'm one of those people that believes that any dimension or revelation of healing to a human being's mind, emotions, or body, that's all God given as a gift.
Yes.
The technology didn't come from man, it came from God. But there is a healing that doesn't require a doctor's visit. There is a healing that requires no man-made medicine at all, and it's always available to us as well. The bottom line is, you're going to cultivate that ability to receive that as you spend time in God's Word finding out what He actually says about that particular type of healing. Say it, He's a healer.
He is a healer.
And I want you to get a hold of this. How badly does God want people well? How badly does God want not just His people that are born again, but His people that He created all over the world? How badly does He want them to live? He's the one that gave the technology. I mean, if it had not been for God moving through the church around the world, most hospital systems would not exist. It was not the secular humanists that set up these systems. It was not the pagan that set up these systems. And I'll tell you something else, too. It wasn't other world religions that set up these systems. All over the world, you'll see Christian organizations set up positions and places of healing because God wants His people well. Does that make sense? Nashville alone, there's a group called Ascension. They own St. Thomas and they own the old Baptist Hospital. Lourdes Hospital was set up as what? As a Catholic operation, and they're all over the world. You see what I'm saying to you? That God's hand has been on this because He wants His people well.
Yes.
So what you have to look at that and say, well, if God wants me well and His Word talks about healing, well, I've got everything I need. Say it,
it's His will
that I be healed. Say it, it's God's will. Turn to somebody and say,
it's God's will
that you be whole.
And
we know from John 1 and 1 John 1 that the Word of God being handled means the same thing as handling or spending time with or fellowshipping with Jesus. Say,
the Word
and the Lord
are one.
That's why this is so critical and why scriptures like Psalm 107, when it says that He sent forth His Word and He healed them, it should mean something to us. Because when He sent Jesus, He sent the healer. Well, guess what? He's not done healing. Just because He's at the right hand of the Father, He's doing what? He is still ministering healing through the person of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
He's still a healer.
He's still a healer.
And that faith is a divine connection between the healer and between the healed. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
In other words, the anointing was on the Word and has been on the Word and is still on the Word. It still brings to pass what God said it would bring to pass. In other words, there's divine power on the Word to bring itself to pass. There is no other book in the universe like this one. It has the power to bring itself to pass. Now, how that works is the key to victory in your life. The world doesn't accept it as not only not holy, but they say it's not relevant. Well, it's holy and it's relevant, and there's no book like it. Revelation causes you, as we just read, the unfolding of that Word brings light, it brings victory, it brings deliverance to you and to me. And it's just as anointed as it ever was.
Amen.
And do you know the Word of God coming out of your mouth is just as powerful as the day it came out of God's mouth?
Yeah.
Selah.
Amen.
The Word has not changed. Just the fact you put it in your mouth, not coming out of your heart, doesn't mean that somehow it's less. It's the same Word. And if you honor it that way, with that high level of honor and respect, you'll see a whole lot more breakthroughs in your life. I believe that we are getting ready to see the greatest breakthroughs the body of Christ has ever seen.
Here we are.
I believe the God of the breakthrough is going to show up at your house and do things that are exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask, think, or imagine, according to His mighty power that's already at work in our lives. This is the year of the more, and it's not over yet.
No, it's not.
Would it be okay if the God of the breakthrough showed up at your house? Yes, He is the God who knows how to bring forth breakthrough in every area of life. Now, last week we talked about seven major causes of sickness and disease. I don't do this so that you go throw off in a corner and be self-condemned, but that you're just aware that there are lots of ways that these things enter into our lives. First of all, original sin. We can thank Adam and Eve for this. But let's not spend too much time worrying about that. Boy, I just can't wait to get to heaven to give Adam a piece of my mind. No. Original sin brought in sickness and disease, but we should spend our time thanking the one that brought healing and deliverance and righteousness. Through one man came that healing. But understand that that means we don't live in a bubble. And it shouldn't be a surprise when there's temptation to sin. And there shouldn't be a surprise when the consequences of sin, which one of those consequences is sickness and disease. Look at somebody and say, you don't live in a spiritual bubble. You live in the real world. A lot of people that kind of, you know, misunderstand these things, and they'll say things like, well, you know what, if you're a faith person, how come you're going to a doctor? If you're a faith person, how come you're believing God to use other remedies? They misunderstand what faith is all about. Faith doesn't pretend we don't have anything. Faith attacks. And when you're going through something, you should throw everything at it you can. Get everybody to believe with you can, amen? Do everything you can in the natural to get well, because God wants you what? Whole and sound. And I've found out that people, when they misunderstand the principles of the word of faith and the things that pertain to a spirit-filled church, they don't really listen that carefully.
No, they don't.
Amen. They talketh much, but listeneth little. I encourage you to talketh less, unless it's confessed in the word, and listen more. Amen? Number two is personal sin. We shouldn't be surprised that personal sin is an open door to the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're doing something that violates God's word, either with your body or your mind, your emotions, with your mouth, knock it off. Yes. Just stop doing it. Amen. Close the door. Turn to somebody and say, close that door on personal sin. Number three is genetics. Congratulations. You are what you are because somebody passed on a genetic code to you. But I have some good news. The blood of Jesus trumps your genetic code that you got from mom or dad and grandma and them. So don't go around saying they had this and so-and-so had it, so I'm going to get it too. No, don't let that be your confession. Jesus was sinless, but He also was sickness-free. We all think about Him being sin-free. He was what? Sickness-free. Until He went to that cross to bear for you and for me, and every disease, every sin, every sickness fell upon Him, the penalty of that. He bore it all at once for you and for me. And not only, listen, not only was He walking as a sick-free, sinless-free man, He has given you and I that authority, that ability, and that power in our lives. Amen? What He did well, didn't He, church?
Yes.
You believe He went there for you?
Yes.
Do you believe He shed His blood?
Yes.
Healing's in the atonement. Healing's in the covenant, glory to God. I love saying that. Healing's in the atonement. What does that mean? He paid for it. Paid for it. What if you went to Lowe's and paid for an appliance and they didn't deliver it? Well, they probably will in 4 or 5 months the way things are going. But if it didn't show up eventually, you'd be upset about it. There are all kinds of things that Christians leave on the table that He paid for. And then get mad at somebody else if they take them off that table. Look, if you don't want to take everything off that table He died to give you, that's on you. But don't get upset with somebody else where they're feasting.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Terrible thing to criticize somebody that'll feast on something Jesus paid for just because you won't feast on it. Because your religion tells you you can't have it. Well, bless your darling heart. You need to stick the religion where He stuck the sin. Get it out of your life. Hallelujah. You're not stuck with your genetics.
That's right.
If He's able to heal you, He's able to what? Correct that code as well. Number four, environmental situations and factors. Things we're exposed to. You're living in a real world where there are real mistakes made and real abuses of the environment, and those factors can affect you. Number five is lifestyle. This is not an environmental factor. These are choices you and I make every single day. What we eat, what we drink, are we smoking, are we exercising, are we doing drugs, are we drinking alcohol, are we doing things that are adversely affecting us? And those of you who don't understand this, even the moderate use of alcohol is killing brain cells. Yep. Most of us can't afford that. I won't even get into the spiritual implications. I'm just telling you is that you sow things into your life. Don't be upset when there's a harvest for them. Amen. And I'll just move on because nobody wants to talk about food tonight. Unless it's on the menu. Amen. But I will say this, you know, Pentecostals and Southern Baptists have something in common. They love to eat. Do you know how many chickens have sacrificed their life in the name of Pentecostalism? A lot of them. You know, it is the official bird of the church. Moving right along. Number six is behavioral. You're doing things that are stupid. You are tempting God. You know, you're getting out there and saying, well, you know, who cares? You have a death wish and nobody knows about it. You're doing stupid things. You can end up in a lot of trouble. And I've seen this as a pastor. That's just the bottom line. I've seen people do this. I've seen them engage this kind of thing and then wonder why things happen. No, look at somebody and tell them and smile. Stupidity opens the door to sickness and disease, and particularly trauma. Yes, it does. And of course, spiritual attacks are supernatural factors that are a reality. And more of these have been released on the earth, on the planet, than ever before in the history of the body of Christ. And be aware of this and understand that ultimately you're dealing with spiritual things. So war in the spirit and not just in the flesh. Amen? So how do you receive your healing in general? Real quickly, I just want you to jot these down. We're not going to spend a bunch of time on this. This is just a general pathway for your restoration, whether it's your body, your mind, your emotions, whatever. First of all, get right with God. Say, get right with God. Amen. You know how long it takes to get right with God tonight? Not long at all. Man is put on the parameters of self-effacement, you know, and beating yourself up, that kind of thing. No, Lord just says, repent and do what? Believe the good news. Why should I get right with God? Why should that be the first step in trying to, you know, develop and cultivate healing in my life? Because sin stops the blessing. Yeah. But guess what? Love stops the curse. Okay. You want the God of all love, amen, in your life, breaking that thing. Number two, know what the Bible says. We talked about this a couple of Sunday mornings ago. You've got to know that healing is God's will. Not because I say it, but because you've got a conviction about that now. You're never going to press in unless you truly believe it's God's will.
Yeah.
You're just not. Nobody can fake this. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to press in based on your own revelation. You've got to know it's His will. Say, healing is God's will. You've got to know what the Bible says about healing being part of the atonement. By His stripes, we're healed, Peter said. And Matthew, who happened to walk with Jesus as opposed to some of these Facebook theologians, directly attributed the blood of Jesus to physical healing in Matthew 18. He bore our sicknesses and carried our infirmities. Masses of people came to Jesus and He healed them. Matthew's conclusion after Peter's mother-in-law was healed and after these masses of people came to Jesus is that healing is in the shed blood of Jesus. Amen. That story is not about sin. It's about physical restoration. And if you don't need any other proof, just look at what Matthew had to say about that. He attributed and he interpreted Isaiah 53, not just to spiritual healing, but to physical healing. That's what the word teaches. So you need to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
Healing is God's will.
Yeah.
Healing is in the atonement.
Yes.
Healing is a covenant provision.
Yes.
Jesus dealt with this woman who stooped over for 18 years and it was a Sabbath day. So she gets healed and they get upset because He heals on the Sabbath. And He made it very, very plain. You untie your animal and give it water on the Sabbath. Ought not this daughter of Abraham receive healing from what afflicted her? What was He saying? Covenant woman.
Amen.
Covenant right to be healed.
Amen.
You understand this tonight. You have a covenant right to be healed. Yes, it's healing is God's will. It's in the atonement, but you have a right, and He brought that message, and here we are thousands of years later still fighting over this stuff. Now, here's the question. The Old Testament covenant she was healed under, better or worse than ours?
Worse.
our covenant is
better.
Yeah. If it ever was a covenant right, it is surely now because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. Say it. It's His atonement, and it's His covenant. Number three is take your medicine. We'll talk about that tonight. And number four, expect your healing to manifest. Believe that what you're doing is working and it's manifesting in your life. Does you no good to say, I believe God, and expect to be the same tomorrow, next month, next year, whatever the case may be. And the reason we say this is very simply and very plainly that God's word is medicine.
Yes, it is.
Say it to me. God's word.
Literally.
Is medicine. I want you to say it again. Say, God's word is medicine, not your religion, not position papers from some denomination. The word is medicine.
That's right.
There is nothing else like that. It's not somebody's commentary, not somebody's magazine, not somebody's YouTube channel. The word itself is medicine. Amen. Don't let any man or woman pollute the word of God in your hearing, because it's the word that is, you know, it's the anointed to bring forth that healing. It literally is medicine. And so how do you take God's medicine tonight? Just three simple principles. Number one, you need to get the right prescription. It does you no good to be taking something for something you don't have. Does that make sense? Which pretty much describes modern medicine. Yeah. Things that you and I are exposed to every single day, many of those things were designed for certain maladies and certain diseases are being transferred into other areas. Not oftentimes are they researched completely as to what will happen if people take that particular substance. In terms of the Word of God, you need to do what Luke 4 says and find the place where it's written. Turn over to Luke 4. Jesus is ministering, and they hand the prophet Isaiah to him. And in verse 17 of chapter 4, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. Say it,
he found
the place where it is written. One of the reasons why you have to do more than just go to a service and just participate in a worship time, you need to become very much acquainted with what the sword of the Spirit says about these matters.
That's right.
So you can find the place where it's written. Find where the healing scriptures apply. Find what God says about that particular situation. You know, there are scriptures, there are, you know, places in the Bible where the mute was healed, where the lame was healed, amen, where the leper was healed, where people were raised from the dead. You find the place what? Where it is written, because faith comes by
hearing,
and what? Hearing by the word of God. And so he found the Isaiah scripture where it spoke of the anointing on the coming Messiah, and he delivered that, and he preached a message from that, and he basically illustrated it with the widow who was in dire straits during a famine, and Naaman, who was healed, who was another pagan who was not of the house of Israel, who was also healed. And that's about all they could take. He never finished the sermon. Mm-hmm. Amen? Do you know sometimes people listen to the word and they choke during the sermon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We don't choke on the Wednesday night Overcomers Club.
Amen.
We open up wide and we say things like we want some more.
Yes, more.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Surely you understand that a dynamic in a Sunday morning service is different from Wednesday night service.
Yes.
There's a lot of mustard you have to cut through on Sunday morning just to get into position to feed people.
Yeah.
That's why worship and praise are so important.
Yes.
And you help do that when you engage it.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. One of the reasons why we're eating at a higher level, and because you're the hungriest bunch I've ever pastored and ever taught, is because we're having new breakthroughs all the time in terms of the presence of God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But don't make the mistake of thinking everybody's as hungry as you are.
That's true.
You don't come to church on Wednesday night in America unless you're hungry. Or you have a teenager, you had to drop off, you had nowhere else to go. But I pray you get delivered from that mentality. Amen. Say,
find the place
where it is written about your particular situation. And then over in John chapter 6, verse 63, And have you know, it's not against the rules to use the table of contents. Are you there? Are you there?
Amen.
John 6 and 63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for what? You want a great scripture to memorize and apply to your life? It's translated better, the flesh profits nothing. It profits nothing. The flesh will always look for an opportunity to tend towards selfishness. That's what it will do. It profits nothing. But he goes on to say this, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing or profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit, and they're what?
Life.
They are life. You're holding a book of life in your hand. This produces life in every area of the believer. Say it, every area.
Every area.
Their spirit and their life. There's nothing else like it. Somebody may call Quran a holy book, but guess what? It is not a spirit of life. It is not a life-giving book. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's just another man-made attempt to bridge the gap that sin created. And there's only one way to bridge that gap, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and for me. But literally, when you get this and you take your medicine, you find the place where it's written, you're taking life.
Amen. Praise God.
Say, I'm taking life when I spend time in the Word. You know, I could probably take a poll and ask you, you know, you get into the Word of God, whether it's mornings or at night, whatever your schedule is, and you read and you meditate and you reflect, maybe you journal and you pray. Don't you feel like something's happening in here when you do your devotions? When you're with God in His presence, that's the life coming into you. That is not a goosebump and a physiological response. That's the life of God coming into you. And when you understand that, you go, you know what? I think I'll do that some more.
Yeah.
Anybody here need more life in them, not less life? We do this all wrong. Read your Bible, pray, seek the face of God, bless God. That's what Christians do. It's life. And I don't know anybody in the church anywhere that couldn't use more of the life of God. And you can have as much as you want. You will never overdose on the life of God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. His words are spirit and they are life. And the whole point is, you know, when a physician writes a prescription, they're going to write a prescription specifically towards a particular, you know, circumstance, a particular infirmity. But there is a clinic in this town that no matter what you have, they'll give you a steroid shot and send you home. It's the cure for everything. You have poison ivy? Take a shot. Sore throat? Take a shot. You have a cold? Take a shot. Got the flu? Take a shot. And you need to be a little more specific spiritually than that.
Amen.
You find the place where it is what? Where it is written. If you got a physical battle, find all those healing promises. You're dealing with God for a specific kind of healing. Find that in the Word of God and go to town on that. Amen. And take your medicine. Turn to somebody and tell them, get the right prescription. Whenever, right now, this is not just a ceremony. It's not some kind of religious thing we're doing. If you're listening, if your spirit is opening, you are receiving life right now. Even the begats will beget you life. What's this doing in here? You have to understand it's not in here by accident. Well, I skip over that and get to the good stuff. That's the first mistake you're making. It's all good. Because it all gives life. Well, I can't read the book of Revelation because, you know, nobody can understand that. That is not true. You have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The problem is you've been confessing you can't understand revelation for years.
Yeah.
And you're getting what you say.
Right.
Start saying, I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
I have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I know exactly what it means.
Exactly.
Amen. And it's really a story of victory. And then other people are like, ooh, that revelation. I don't want to read that. That makes me scared. Why? You're saved.
Yeah.
It's the devil and the unsaved people that should be scared about Revelation.
Yeah.
You should go, nope, that doesn't apply to me. The millennial reign, that applies to me. The marriage supper of the Lamb, that applies to me, glory to God. Coming back with Jesus and his holy ones, that applies to me. Afraid of Revelation? No. Could you imagine reading the Word, getting into the Word, you in the Bible study, and getting nothing out of it but a spirit of fear?
Oh my God.
You know it didn't come from God. No. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Say it, I'm not afraid of Revelation.
I'm not afraid of Revelation.
I'm not afraid of the baguettes.
I'm not afraid of the baguettes.
All of the Word begets life. All of it. There is nothing irrelevant in here. And spend some time in some of those lineages, you'll find out some amazing things. That's where you meet a man named Jabez. That's where you find out that Rahab was in the lineage of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and smile and say, if God could use Rahab, there's hope for you. For eternity. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. She will be honored all the days, what, of our lives, which go on into eternity.
Yeah, right.
Amen. She's probably an interesting character you want to meet one day. Mm-hmm. Amen. Tell me about Jericho, Rahab. Yeah. Praise God. Number two, you need to put the medicine into your system. Put it into your system. Do you know if you get a prescription from the doctor and it sits on the nightstand for a month, it's not going to do you any good? Huh?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I mean, you, and pardon me if I make a little bit of fun, but you know, Mary Hart does good like a medicine.
Yes, it does.
But what you have to go through sometimes, even in this town, to even see somebody, take out time, jump through all the hoops.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll get to see a physician. Maybe you won't. Amen. Go through all the rigmarole, and then finally you get in there, and then finally you get out, and then they call something in, and you go down there, and then you haggle with an insurance company. And then you finally get the medicine home, and then you put it on a holy place there on your nightstand, and don't take it. It's not going to do you any good if you don't take the medicine that was prescribed.
That's it.
Amen. Go with me over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, reemphasize the efficacy of the word of God. My son, verse 1, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity.
Amen.
Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
You keep taking the medicine of the word of God, it'll prolong your life.
Amen.
How long is up to you and God. And the factors I've outlined tonight should prolong your life and bring you prosperity. So somebody says, are you one of them prosperity people? Yeah, I believe what Proverbs says.
That's right.
You must have a problem with the commands of God. You must not like to take his medicine. But I like to take his medicine. And if I take the medicine of the word of God and I get the prescribed results, does that make sense? And you know when they do an ad for some medicine on TV and they list all the things that you might get if you take this medicine?
Yeah.
God doesn't do the switcheroo. What his word says he prescribes is what you get. Amen. You take one medicine, you know, for skin inflammation and say, may it kill you, bless God. You may never walk again. It just builds your faith. Amen. And they happen to run a lot of these during Christmas on the Hallmark channel, my favorite all-time channel. I just have to forego the temptation. Say it,
his word,
his medicine will extend life and bring prosperity. Again, it's just a matter of do you believe it? Say, I'm a believer. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. God's medicine will produce what? Favor with God and man. See, the world wants you to believe if you become, you know, really on fire for God, then people won't like you anymore and will separate from you. You know, the bottom line is God will make sure that favor comes to you if you've been taking his medicine. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Taking his medicine will be sure that your path is directed in the right manner. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your whole body and nourishment to your bones. Say it, them bones, and dry bones. What will it do? When you're actually taking his medicine, it brings health to your entire being and nourishment to your bones. We know that things like grief, the spirit of grief, we know that bitterness, things like that, do the opposite. But when you're walking in and receiving God's word and you're taking his medicine as it's prescribed, you're putting it into your system, you're going to see some good results from that. Amen. Say it, health to my entire flesh. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it, church? Is there any part of your body that's not covered by that?
No.
Is it covered your mind?
Yes.
Your emotions?
Yes.
Your brain?
Yes.
Your feet?
Yeah.
Your teeth?
Woo.
Your nose?
Yeah.
Your ears?
Woo.
Your eyes?
Yes.
Your kidneys?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom came here with a terrible kidney disease when she moved here.
Wow.
To God's country. From Arizona. Where the devil camps out. So hot out there. But you know that God touched her and her kidneys function perfectly. And all I can tell you is, you know, she's always been a believer and always believed God for these things, but I can tell you that when you sit under a healing word, it shouldn't surprise us that we can experience healing. Say it with me, it's medicine to our entire flesh. And then go over to Proverbs 4. Be encouraged tonight. Say it, the word is God's medicine.
The word is God's medicine.
Chapter 4, verse 21. Go back to verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. What? Pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find it. Not generic life, have a good life, hope you have a nice life, how's your life? No, life, as in the permeation of God's healing power and virtue to sustain your body when necessary, and health to a man's whole body. That's what the word says about God's heart for divine healing. But it's tied to taking what? The medicine. Amen. How much of your flesh?
All.
How much of it?
All
of it. And what do? Natural medicine is taken by a pill or injection or some transdermal system. You should take it as directed. You don't want to swallow a transdermal system. You take it as what? Directed. And it is kind of funny. Some of those labels are so obvious. You have to think the person that can't understand this must be the dumbest person on the planet. You know, take it as directed. It may say every 12 hours. It may say daily. The CPAC, it may be stepping down day by day until you take the less amount on like the seventh day. You take it as directed. The question is, how do you, if God's word is medicine, and say it, God's word is medicine, how do you take it? You take it by means of your ears, your eyes, and your mouth. You inject something either in the muscle, or you inject it into the derma. You put a transdermal system on the skin. You put a pill in your mouth. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? If you're in the hospital and you have an IV, they'll actually administer it through that IV. When it comes to the believer getting God's medicine into their system, It has three specific gates or pathways. That's why it's so important, not just to be here physically, but to be dialed in. I still believe one word from God can change your life forever.
Yeah.
I've also found out one word from the devil can do the same thing. So we got to be open to God's medicine and stay away from the poison of the enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And what am I doing? You're putting it in your ears tonight. You got your eyes on your device or your eyes on the word. That's why it's so important for you not to sit there and vegetate. Some of you are more auditory learners. Some of you literally need to write things down. Even if you never look at your notes again, you're deriving benefit from taking those notes. That's a good thing.
Yes, it is.
But you need to engage your eyes and your ears and your mouth. These are the ways you get God's medicine into your system. Hope Harbor is not a cult because we have you repeat things. Some people are educated way beyond their level of intelligence. We did this as Lutherans. We verbalized the liturgy. Not one time did I ever hear somebody say, you know that Epiphany Lutheran Church in Chautauqua and Carbondale, Illinois? Those people are a cult. Because they'd be speaking things out loud. We did. Do you know that Christianity, before we had all the manuscripts, was called the Great Confession?
Yes.
Wow.
And now all of a sudden it's like, well, that's weird because you have people say things. Well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to go to a non-speaking, non-laughing church. I think it's good to go to a laughing church.
Yes, amen.
Some of y'all crack me up. Amen. Sometimes it's all I can do to contain myself. Just looking at you. It's okay to laugh. Look at somebody and say, you're a mess. You're funny. No. No, we can't laugh in church. We'll go to hell. Put on your best church lady face. I'm going to go to a non-confessing church. What you're telling me is you don't want to put the medicine where it belongs. It goes in the ears, in the eyes, into the heart. And when you say something out, you're releasing your faith, but you're also resubmitting that word back into your ear. You are on a constant loop of life.
Amen.
And most of us have lived our lives with a constant loop of death. Here's something bad, repeat it. Here's something bad, and repeat it. You've been doing this in the natural for years. Well, I don't want to say things, you know. I don't want to say things before I do them. You do it all the time. Answer me this. Does somebody tonight tell somebody that you're going to church?
Yep.
Raise your hand if you told somebody you were coming to church tonight. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Because that's how you were made. You project yourself all the time in the natural, and then we tell you to speak the word of God, projecting your path of life into the future, and that's weird. And then Facebook's even stranger. They put pictures of what they ate. I saw this Christian comedian talking about this, and he was saying, you know, the old people now, you should get to know them because the new old people are really going to be weird. Like the old people will tell you the stories about World War II, like my dad's Uncle Jocko, who went with Patton's army all the way through Europe, all the way to Africa, all the way into Nazi Germany. I mean, you think about this, the stories he must have told. And so they've got pictures, you know, of the tanks and pictures of the war, that pictures of things that they collected. And then there's the grandma of today in 50 years, whatever. And the little boy opens up a photo album, and grandma, what's that? Well, that's the dinner I had at Cracker Barrel. Isn't that wonderful? We got these wonderful things. I'm going on vacation. And how stupid can you be to tell Facebook and everybody who has a way where you're going and when you're going on vacation? Why don't you just put out a sign and say, rob me now? But it's weird. Get up here in this here church and confess the word of God. You take it as it's prescribed. Proverbs 4 makes it very, very plain. You keep it before your eyes. Say my eyes. Keep it in your ears. Keep it in your mouth. Don't let the book of the law, Joshua was told, fail to continue to come out of your mouth. That's how this is done. Well, that's weird. Well, you know, it may be weird to the flesh, but all you have to do is think about all the times you've done this in the natural and just say, I'm going to start doing something now that's going to produce life. Does that make sense? Say, I'm going to put the word into my system, by my mouth, by my ears, by my eyes. My son, attend to my words. Attend means to consent and submit to God's word. So it needs to be the most prevalent thing coming before your eyes. The most prominent thing coming into your ears and the most prominent thing coming out of your mouth. We won't ask for a show of hands, but is the word of God on a daily basis the thing you talk about the most?
Yeah.
Is it what you listen to the most? Is it what you, see and hear and say the most? Only this. 10,000 voices right now just blazing through this room. Radio waves, television waves, you name it. Only one voice is medicine. One. You have found the source. You have found the key. Now you have to make sure that you take it as directed. Say it with me. Attend to his words. Consent to and submit to God's words. How do you get it into your heart, your ears, your eyes, and your mouth? Got to hear it, got to see it, and got to say it. So count it as a wonderful thing when you can actually repeat something. If you do it full of faith and with great joy, great conviction, you'll feel something being lodged into your spirit.
That's it.
There are times in the service we'll have confessions and we'll go through several things and people will spontaneously clap. You want to know why? Because something became real to them at that moment.
Yes.
By putting the medicine in their heart by virtue of their own mouth. I said, well, Pastor, I need you to come live with me so I can have somebody speaking the word all the time to me. You don't want that. And I'm pretty sure I don't want that. You are the prophet of your own life.
That's right.
You have the ability at any moment in time to form, fashion, and speak faith-filled words in your situation. And realize what you're doing. You're not just parroting somebody. It's real to you. It's coming out of your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You are actually sowing healing seeds every time you do it. Don't anyone talk you out of this. Don't anyone shame you. These things happen to work. We are our healthiest versions of ourselves, body, amen, soul, and spirit, when we are taking the word in our ears, in our eyes, and saying it with our mouth. Confession is actually thousands of years old. Confession and storytelling is all the Hebrews had for a very long time. Confession is all the early church had. They had the Hebrew scriptures and had the teachings of Jesus and the apostles. They were verbally rehearsed and shared. Understand that hasn't changed. There's still a power and a force to it. Faith cometh by hearing. Not just having heard. Can I have an amen? Number three, let it run its course. Let the word run its course. Satan's goal is to neutralize the medicine in your heart. But you need to finish the medicine and allow there to be a building or concentration of God's medicine in your system. If you've ever been on a bout of antibiotics, they will tell you to do what? In 3 or 4 days, you're probably going to start feeling good. But do what? Finish the bottle. Christians do this all the time. They hear a good sermon or a couple sermons, have a good service, and they get a little high, and that's all they do. And then they crash because they didn't what? They didn't stay with it. Amen. This is a case where a little dab won't do you. Come on, say it. A dab won't do me. I need to take it and keep on taking it in my life. This is how you supercharge your spiritual immune system. The word of God concentrated will push sickness and disease away from your body, but Satan will do everything he can to keep you, just keep you in a place where you're not following through. And Mark 4 tells us how he does that. I won't go through all of this, but go to Mark 4. His goal is to keep you from taking and staying in that which will heal you and bring you wholeness. When you found Mark 4, say amen.
Amen.
Now shout it out, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
It's God's will.
It is God's
will. It's in the atonement.
It's in the covenant.
There are targets of the enemy. Jesus, of course, talks about the sower sows the word. And in verse 13, well, back up to verse 10, when the 12 were with him, he was asked, and he responded to them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And then he says, don't you understand the parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Why? Because the word of God is the healing seed. Say it. It's God's medicine. Some people like seeds sown along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Luke helps us to understand this has to do with understanding. As soon as it comes out, they may be thrilled by it, they're glad to hear it, but they never fully have revelation about that. The enemy has stopped that progression in their life. Say it with me, I'm receiving revelation. Others like seeds sown in rocky places hear the word at once, receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So they have the healing seed, and they have the life sown into them. But guess what? That seed attracted trouble. Mm-hmm. Say this to me. The teaching
I'm hearing tonight.
Will attract trouble.
Woo!
In my life. That's a bad confession, Pastor. No, that's the Bible.
Yes, it is.
When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. I have seen people that had an attitude, well, I'm gonna receive and read and listen and speak for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, then I'm done. You've been talking trash for 20 years,
yeah,
and you want your whole life to turn around in 3 weeks. And they get offended. You'd be amazed how many people get offended because things don't happen on their timetable. I don't understand why God doesn't listen to me the first time and do what I ask Him to do the first time. How many times has God tried to tell you to do something and you're still, you know, holding Him at bay? The Lord really dealt with me about this one time. You know, God is responding to you in the same manner you responded to Him. So I'm telling you that to receive the word is the key to life. It is life. It is medicine. But it makes you a target.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be a target. This is the way it is. That's why people say stupid things like, those faith people, they don't live in reality. You know, they easy believism, you know, just name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. When you put the word of God in, there's no easy believism to it. You become a target of the enemy. And his sole goal is to get the word of God out of your heart.
Yeah.
And you can see it. You can sense when people are starting to do that. They heard what they wanted to hear. They didn't receive what they thought they should receive. And they get put out with it. And they get put out with where they found that. And they get put out with the people who taught them that. And some of these folks become some of the most bitter, critical, belligerent folks anywhere in the body of Christ. No life whatsoever. I encourage you with this truth. You take the word of God in and hold on to it. It will produce in due season in your life because God is not a liar.
That's right.
In the meantime, you got to watch out for the devil trying to rob you of understanding or trying to kick things up around you.
Yeah.
And try to pull your eyes and your ears off the word of God and your mouth off the word of God. Get you to talk the circumstances instead of the solution. It happens all the time. And all I can do is coach you, but I can't do this for you. And when you see this happening, just step back and see what's happening and then judge it accordingly. I see what you're doing, devil.
Yep.
Now you have a choice. You shut down, stop taking the word of God in your ears and your eyes, stop saying it with your mouth, or develop a Bartimaeus spirit. Not only am I not going to shut up, I'm going to cry out all the more.
Yeah.
Keep messing with me, devil, and you'll hear me get a megaphone. Keep messing with me. That's got to be your mindset, not to quit, but to shout it out all the more. Hey, son of David, have mercy upon me. In that phrase is a messianic trust and confidence and confession. In that phrase, he's asking for alleviation of distress, and he won't be denied. And you know, finally, after the disciples originally try to shoo him away, they tell him, cheer up. That must have been really weird for him to hear that from the same people told him to shut up. Hey, shut up. Cheer up. He's calling for you. And we're fully in agreement with this. Here, come with us, the master. And what does Jesus say to him? What do you want me to do? Did he receive what he wanted?
Yes.
That's right. You can either shut up and back down, or you can cry out all the more. I encourage you to cry out all the more, because if you do, the devil doesn't win. The word keeps producing because it is medicine. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the words, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. These are the group that basically they find themselves distracted by everyday life and circumstances. And instead of letting the word grow up, it gets choked off by all these other kinds of weeds. Now, these three categories, just for your own hearing tonight, what happens is, the enemy comes, the targets of the devil, number one is your understanding, where he steals that revelation away from your heart. It's not in there, it's not grounded, it's not cultivated, it's not placed like a sure place. Once you receive revelation from God, don't let anybody talk you out of it.
Yeah.
Timothy did a great job teaching on righteousness. Don't ever let somebody talk you out of the righteousness that God gave you. It's a settled issue. You put yourself in a position where the devil can't talk you out of something like that. The second thing he targets, of course, is your courage. When you're being persecuted, when there is trouble, some of y'all have family that are mistreating you, you don't know why. I'll tell you why, because your spirit agitates them. But Pastor, I don't even say anything. You don't have to say anything. Your spirit alone, bringing conviction. They know how they're living. It's not that you're judging them. No, what's happening is there's conviction coming and they're equating the conviction with you, but it's not you. It's the Spirit of God that's dealing with them. So you make up your mind that I'm not going to be pushed away from the Word of God because of a situation like that. Trouble or persecution will come, but I am going to have courage.
Yep.
It's what he told Joshua. Be what? Strong and what? Courageous. And number three, the target is your focus.
Amen.
You've got to stay focused on what did God say. And every day there's going to be a new voice trying to tell you that, hey, this stuff doesn't work, you know, and let me tell you about Billy Bob and what he went through. It's some religious person to get on the air and tell you that God doesn't heal anymore. You got to make up your mind to get your word from the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
We instruct you, but the instruction is not on the same level as authority as the word itself.
Amen.
That was a good place to say, Selah. The word itself is the highest authority. And you've got to know what it says so you know when to shut things down that are coming in to contradict it. But the good news is there are some that hear. Say, I hear. And retain and persevere, those folks get a harvest.
Yeah.
Anybody here for a harvest of 30,
yeah.
60,
yeah.
or 100-fold?
Yeah.
Anybody interested in that?
Yeah.
How did they get it? They heard and they rebuffed the devil trying to take their understanding, their courage, and their focus, and they persevered. No one gets to the 30, 60, or 100 without perseverance. I'm going to say it again. No one gets to it. No one gets to 30, 60, or 100 without perseverance.
Wow. Yeah.
You're never going to run up and say, Pastor, I believe God, and I didn't have to persevere at all. And look what happened. Well, somebody else got in there maybe. The flesh may have got in there. But to receive from God and what He provides, it is going to take perseverance in your life. Amen. Say that with me. I do persevere.
I do persevere.
They hear and they retain and they persevere and they get a harvest from that healing seed. A good definition of letting the Word of God run its course is very simple. To hear, say, I hear.
I hear.
To believe, say, I believe.
I believe.
And say, I do.
I do.
Say it, I do.
I do.
How many married people said, I do?
I do.
Notice you didn't say, I'll try.
No.
If you're standing before a preacher and he says to you, do you promise to love, honor, and cherish all the days of your life? And you say in front of that bride, I'll try. You're going to get something upside the head. Amen. Say, we don't try. We do. We're like Yoda. We do or we don't do. Why is that so important? And write this down. If you don't get anything else, don't let the devil rob you of this tonight. It's not medicine until you do what it says. But I went to church. That's great. I listened to an entire believers' convention twice. That's great. I read 5 faith books. That's great. I've got all this medicine and ain't nothing happening. It's not medicine until you do it. Be ye doers of the word, James says, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Why would he say that? Deceiving yourselves. Because we are deceived to believe that if we are hearing, going to church, reading articles, reading books, that somehow it's going to work for us. That's the key. Get it in your eyes and your ears and get it coming out of your mouth. But ultimately, you're going to have to do what? Do what it says. Mm-hmm. Say, it's not medicine.
Until I do it.
The power that is resident in the Word of God to bring itself to pass is released when we do it. You can have 1,000 lessons on praise, but if you want prison doors to fling open,
you gotta praise.
Yeah.
You can't say, I read 15 books on praise.
No.
I watched 5 different worship services of churches in their praise service. Doesn't that qualify for an open door?
No.
You got a devil that's screaming at you? The Bible tells us that praise silences the foe and the avenger. You want to silence him?
Praise God.
Not with head knowledge. Well, I read that scripture 15 times and he's still coming at me. But no, you have to actually praise. You have to actually do what it says. You will find a lot of people have a lot of medicine bottles on their Christian shelf and nightstand. But which ones of those are you actually doing? Which ones are you actually obeying? The life is released when you do it. Come on, shout that out. The life
is released
when you do it.
It's
not enough to hear it. If hearing and just looking at and thinking about were the ultimate key, you would have absolute victory in the body of Christ in this country. We've never had so much word. But we need a whole lot more doing. Amen. Be what?
Doers
of the word. Amen. How many of y'all want the medicine to work for you?
Yes.
So what do you have to do?
Do it.
You need to what? Find the place where it's written about you. Amen. Get the right prescription. Put it into your system. How do I put it into my system, church? My eyes, my ears, my mouth. And I do that for 2 days, Pastor, and it will work. No, you don't stop doing it. Number 3, let it run its course. Psalm 1 is a great example of that. And I just want to give you a description of how to take that medicine daily. The blessed and power to prosper is the man who does not walk in what? His eyes, his ears, and his mouth are not in line with the wicked or the way of sinners or in the seat of mockers, but his delight he derives his greatest delight and joy from the word of God. In his law of the Lord he meditates what? He does what? Day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. This guy is getting fruit. He's getting, you know, resilience. He does not wither. Whatever he does, what?
Prospers.
It's what you do with the word. The word is God's medicine. You meditate on it day and night. Joshua was told to do this because if you meditate day and night, you don't let the book of the law cease to come out of your mouth. You don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. You'll be careful to what? To do it. The key for Joshua was not just in getting into the book of the law. He had to actually do what it said. And that's how you make your way successful. Say, that's how I make my way successful. That's how I make myself healthy. That's how I make myself victorious. That's how I make myself successful. That's how I make myself victorious and prosperous is by doing that principle. If it doesn't come into your eyes and your ears and come out of your mouth, you're not going to be predisposed to do it. If you don't do it, you're not going to have anything. The devil will severely neutralize that seed in your life and you won't see much produce from that. Are you here? You want to heal your mind? Do what the Bible says to do about your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12. You want to heal your body? Do what the Word of God says. Take your medicine. You want to see your money healed? Do what the Word of God says. Treat every aspect of your life. It's healing for your entire body and your flesh, but it's healing for your entire life. If you want healing in any area, do what the Word says. Give and it shall be given to you. You know those are words that Jesus spoke.
Yeah.
Amen. If you want something healed, do what the Word tells you to do. You want to heal your marriage? Don't answer that. Just, I'm assuming you do. Amen. Do what it says. Husbands,
love your wives
as Christ loved the church. Wives, respect and honor. There's the key. And if you do that, you're going to see life in that relationship. Now, this is not a mini marriage seminar, but if a woman is loved and practically loved by being given an environment where there is security in that home, you're going to get healing in that relationship. If that woman projects respect for that husband instead of criticism and denigration and comparing them to other people, rolling their eyes at them, telling them they're stupid, if you will honor them, you'll get the best version out of them and you'll see healing to your relationship. Now, if you as a wife sow respect and honor, you're going to reap security. Men, if you will sow security into your marriage, you're going to reap respect and honor.
Yes.
Well, I'll do it when she starts doing it. You got the wrong idea. You're supposed to be the priest of the family. Why don't you start?
Amen.
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 Are you listening tonight?
Yeah.
You sow something, and what happens is you're doing something with that. You're bringing healing to that relationship. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Whatever is sick in your life can be healed with the medicine of God's word. No matter what it is. There is healing medicine for every aspect of the human dimension and the human life, bar none. Physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, relationally, in every regard. But you've got to actually take that and you've got to actually do what that medicine prescribes that you do. Amen.
Amen.
So how do you take it? Real quickly, consistently. The five C's of God's medicine, consistently. You're faithful to take the medicine of God's word, and not just when you're excited or you're stirred up, you do it anyway. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, it's amazing you'll take real medicine when you don't feel like it. That's kind of a cop-out, isn't it? I was a competitive swimmer for years, and you name a hamlet or suburb of St. Louis or Chicago, and I was there at one point in time in swimming, and because of swimming that much, my mom would put me on these vitamins, And every single day she'd say, did you take your vitamins? And then she would say, if I hesitated at all, she'd say, I'm going to count. And she would. She'd pour the whole bottle out and count the vitamins just to see if I had actually taken the vitamins. Well, that's fine when you're 10 or 12, but how many of y'all older than 10 or 12 now? And Doris isn't coming by your house to count your vitamins. Or if you're consistently taking in the medicine of God's word in your mouth, ears, and eyes. Number two, confidently. You're sure of the promises of God. You're popping the right kind of pills now. And you're absolutely confident God's going to come through. Number three, covenantally, meaning that you plead the blood of the covenant. The healing is in the atonement and the covenant of God. You do so with that mindset. I'm doing this because God's will is healing. And his covenant provision is healing. You're not just making stuff up. I'm doing it consistently, confidently, covenantally. Number four, confessionally. I'm diligently speaking the outcome that I'm expecting instead of speaking the circumstances that are. You're never going to get away from this. People will say all that, blab it and grab it, but guess what? They blab it, they grab it, and guess what? They get it.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because it's a spiritual principle. Thousands of years old, some people have grasped it, some people just make fun of it. But the reality is that people have learned to do this and persevere. They see more breakthroughs than other people. I didn't say everything's going to be perfect in your situation. You don't do this in a vacuum or a bubble. You're doing this in a real world. But you get more results and breakthroughs when you do it. And number five, courageously. In the face of fear and any bad report that comes your way, you keep taking that medicine with courage. You remember what Joshua was told. You stay in there. Gloria Copeland famously said, in your consistency lies the power. Say that with me, in my consistency lies the power. Well, you know, Pastor, I want it to work right now, immediately. Well, you know, God is gracious at times to raise up somebody with a spirit of faith or a gift of healing. But as you grow up in God, you're going to have to learn to sow and reap your healing. With what? With the seed of God's word that is the medicine. Amen? Can you receive that tonight?
Amen.
Shout it out. God's word,
God's word
is medicine
for my entire life.
Every day. I'm going to take his medicine consistently, confidently, covenantally, confessionally, and courageously.
I fully expect
healing.
In every area
of my life,
in Jesus'
name. Can you give him a hand clap for that?
Amen.
Thank you for that.